Well, this morning, Zaki preferred the sermons about 1 hour. And I said, okay. And I tried to extend my sermon. And Emily said, oh, no. Welcome back. Be tortured by my sermon. Don't worry. Not going to be long. Okay? It's only three parts, right? Each part is about 15 minutes, right? Give me the first slide.
Okay.
How come there's no one? About sin, because people do not believe in me. It's really strange. Sin is not based on legal matters. It's not based on Moses' law. For instance, just like Chris, you can stand up and say, if you guys don't believe in me, that's sin. We'll say, okay. No. So, how do I understand this verse? Because people do not believe in me, and that's sin. It's not because we did something wrong. We speeding ticket, whatever. We break the law, and then it's sin, right? It's criminal, it's crime, whatever. But this is not just not believe in Jesus, and this is sin. I mean, at the time when Jesus talked, I believe, whatever, the listeners said, what? Just because people don't believe in you, and it's a sin? Strange, right? It's not based on law or any legal matters. Okay, so I made up a story. A strange story. Fortunately, the person is not here today. Otherwise, I'm going to freak out. Okay. The story is like that. Okay, listen. Patrick got into medical school in Tennessee, right? And fell in love with a smart, pretty girl named Gaga. So first year in the medical school, Gaga's father went bankrupt. And her family could afford to let her study in the medical school partially, not fully, partially. So Patrick, besides studying, had to pick up several part-time jobs in order to support Gaga to continue her study in the medical school. So on the surface, Gaga pretended to be nice to Patrick. But when Patrick was not around, she flirted with other guys in school. Bad, right? And even had intimate relationship with them. Bad, right? Although Patrick knew all about it, she still loved Gaga. Because of heavy usage of meth and alcohol, Gaga gradually looked dropey and ugly. And then one day, she passed out in class. After checkup in the hospital, the report said her liver was functioning only 5%. And then she needed a liver transplant. Among all the schoolmates, quietly, Patrick was the only one willing to give half of her liver for the transplant operation. When Gaga gained conscience after the transplant operation, the doctor and nurse told her what had happened. She cried. After Patrick recovered from the operation of his liver donation, he walked to Gaga's hospital bed to see how Gaga was. Gaga said to Patrick, I'm sorry for all the things that I had done to you. Because I thought you loved me, just like other guys was because I was smart and pretty. As a matter of fact, although I flirted with and made all the guys feel good, about me, I didn't trust and believe in any one of you guys. But now, I truly trust and believe in you, because I know now you love me to a point you're willing to die for me. Nice story, right? You got the meaning? Because, how about let's memorize John 3:16. Let's count to three and then let's memorize it. One, two, three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And it's so hard to understand this love of God, because we don't believe. It's so hard for us to believe that a God that we can touch, we can see, and yet in our heart we fully understand, yeah, God loves me. Yeah. Is it serious? Is it real? It's hard. Just based on 3:16. We kind of understand. But are we fully receiving this love from God? It's just like the story that I made up, according to the person who's not here today. Okay, don't laugh at him, okay? Just because he's not here today. So, okay. Let's read this one. This is a scripture translated by Message, Eugene Peterson. Okay, let's read it. We can understand something dying for a person worth dying for. And we can understand now how someone good, inspired, and selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. Yeah. Hard to understand about sin because people do not believe in me. Do you believe in Jesus and willing to accept his love? He created the whole world before he created human being. It's just like mom and dad welcome a newborn baby. Set up the whole thing. Nursery room for the kid to come. Okay, next one. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. Where you can see me no longer. What's so righteous about that? Because Jesus going to the Father, and that is righteous? Does that make sense? You go to the Father, fine. You're sitting right side of the Father, fine. And that's righteous? Well, you're righteous, fine. But does that have anything to do with me? I mean, of course, we all like to be righteous. But he's sitting there with the Father. What has to do with me? I'm here, and he's up there. And it's righteousness. Does it make sense? When I was a kid, I mean, when I read this verses, I say, does it make sense? Righteous because it's up there and I'm here, that's righteousness. Does it make sense? I mean, it would be nice If Jesus is still here, right? Please don't ascend. Stay. Wouldn't it be easier for us to tell people about Jesus? I mean, I told Jesus about Jesus to a lot of people. People said, show me. Show me Jesus. Where is he? I mean, it would be easier if Jesus can be here in New Jersey or maybe even in Jerusalem. That would be nice. Wait. Okay? You not well, back then we call, right? But today, iPhone, you can show pictures and everything. I mean, so advanced. Well, here's Jesus. Right now, he's in Jerusalem, but I can show you. I mean, you can talk to him over the phone. Wouldn't it be easier? Do we have to really travel far to tell an unreached people about Jesus? Just put Jesus in TV. I mean, you can show the whole world about Jesus. I mean, how much money we're going to be saved, right? Much easier. I mean, why Jesus just ascend to the side of the Father? Have you ever thought about it? I thought about it. Why? I mean, if he stayed, much easier for all of us. No missionaries, not necessary. I mean, I don't need to stand here and talk. I mean, torture you guys. I mean, just as Jesus, I'm here. Okay, lunch? No problem. Give me fish. I'll show you how. You see, I mean, Jesus can do so many things to convince people. We cannot. But Jesus can. Right? The Pharisees told Jesus, yeah, show me something. Show me a miracle. And Jesus said, no, you evil generation. If Jesus is right here with us, is it good? Is it good? And Jesus become limited. And then Jesus will become even more unbelievable. He's just a finite person. Just right here with me. We can treat him whatever we like. He's an idol. He can be just one of the idols on TV. And then we can manipulate this person. Just like 2,000 years ago, people manipulate the Messiah. Same thing. We just like to manipulate our God. And then the word becomes flesh. Woo, isn't it to our advantage to manipulate this so-called man God? Hey. He's going to the Father. Christ, Messiah, what does it mean? The anointed one. Anointed by what? Olive oil. With myrrh, frankincense. Mixed. And then pour over your head. That's anointed one. In the New Testament, in the four Gospels, is there anywhere you see Jesus was anointed by oil, olive oil, pouring from his head down? No. And also, in the New Testament, have you seen any believers or new converts, whatever, they were anointed by oil pouring down from the head down to? No, right? And yet, we call him Jesus Christ. We call the first generation believers Christians. That means little Christ. And yet, they were not anointed by oil. And yet, we call them Christians. We call ourselves Christians. Does that make sense? If we really want, according to the Old Testament, we want to be officially called Christian, should be oil. Lots of oil. Lots of olive oil mixed with myrrh and frankincense and pour overhead. Then we can call ourselves Christians because we were anointed. But have you ever seen a church like that? So, what are we anointed by? Got it? The Holy Spirit. Jesus was anointed when he was baptized. Anointed by what? Like a dove falling down on him. Anointed by the Holy Spirit. So we can call ourselves Christians. Okay, let's show next one. Let's go ahead and let's read it. 1, 2, 3. You yourself are all the endorsement we need. Your life, very life was a little letter than anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it. Not with ink, but with God's living spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. And we publish it. We couldn't be more sure of ourselves in this, that you, written by Christ himself, by God, letter of recommendation, we would think of writing this kind of letter about ourselves. Only God can write such a letter. This letter authorized us to help carry out this new plan of action. The plan wasn't written out with ink on paper, with pages and pages of legal footnotes. Killing your spirit, it is written with spirit and spirit, life on his lives. Are you the endorsement of God? Right here it says, people like to have endorsement, to have letters. And Paul said, you are the letter. You are the endorsement of God. I mean, celebrities was invited to be endorsement of certain product, certain company. We call them the endorsement. They were endorsement, trustworthy celebrities to be the endorsement. Are we the endorsement of God in this world? Are we truly, truly the little Christ in this world? Are we really truly anointed by the Spirit and then live out a life that's according to God's image? It's... Wait. Back. It's his life on our lives. Written with his spirit on our spirit. Is it that way? We just love the call Christian, and yet we don't want his spirit right on our spirit. We don't want to be a letter for God. We hate to be endorsed as a Christian. Okay, next one. About judgment, because the prince of this world now stand condemned. And then I'm going to use Patrick again. Patrick's mom told me not to tease her son, because all the time I just like to joke about his dimple. I mean, it's, hey, dimple guy, so how are you today? And then whenever I have a chance, I like to tease Patrick. I don't know why. He's so cute and so cool, so nice, so vulnerable. But I have a problem. And that is, the more she told me not to tease her son, the more I like to tease her son. Hey? And then, isn't it strange about judgment because the prince of this world will stand condemned. We all have a problem. It was so vividly described by Paul in Romans 7, chapter 7. You'll go back and read it. Okay, now next. So let's read it. It's very interesting. Okay? It's very interesting. Let's read it. 1, 2, 3. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's command, but it's pretty obvious that not of all me join in the delight. Parts of me, COVID rebel, expect that they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus can do. He acted set things right in this life of contradiction, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Next one. With the arrival of Jesus, Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who entered into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared air, me freeing you from the fated lifetime, a brutal tyranny by the hands of sins and death. We all have a problem. And then, I mean, in Genesis chapter 3, when God somehow found out what Adam and Eve did, and of course, he's searching them in the garden. When he found out, what did you do? What did you do? And Adam right away said, this woman. And then when God faced Eve, he said, what did you do? Well, then Eve just right away said, well, this serpent. I mean, we like to say, well, because of this and that. And we like to just shake off our responsibility and say, well, because of this, because of that. I mean, none of my fault. Okay, I've been asked many times, I don't know, I don't even remember how many times actually, how come there's a Satan there? If Satan was demolished, was disappeared from this world, wouldn't it be easier for us to live? Why put a Satan in this world so we have all this problem, this chaotic world? It's because, God, you didn't finish with Satan, so that's why Satan is here, whispering in our ears and telling us to do this and that, just like according to our desire. The Nike say, just do it. Why not? If you like it, just go ahead. Just do it. I mean, everywhere you go, you'll see the advertisement and the commercials. Why? If you like it, just do it. I mean, isn't Mercedes-Benz and BMW your identity? That you should have this kind of identity, to fit your status. You have the right to own this car, to tell people you are a different person. You are a successful person. You are a rich person. You are more meaningful than others, because you're driving this kind of car and you live in this kind of mansion house. You are different. You dress this kind of outfit. Then you are totally different from others. I mean, hey, the whole world is telling you, why not? You deserve this. You should. So people will look at you, wow, with envying eyes. Then you say, yes, I'm better than others. Look at me. I have all this stuff. But unfortunately, we as Christians, anointed one, we don't have that kind of excuse. Because Satan told me. Because all the commercial told me. No. The Prince of Peace is condemned. We have no excuse. There's two forces in us that's fighting our own desire and the force of the Holy Spirit. It's tug of war, pulling you from this side to that side. It's us. That's why all the time we need to repent to holy means separated. We're separated from this world. We don't listen to this world. We do have the right not listening to this world. Because we have the Spirit. We are anointed. That's it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Not just you come 2,000 years ago. And also, 2,000 years ago, you gave us the Spirit to live in us, to tell us what is the right thing to do. Just that simple. Are we willing to do according to your calling? Willing? Are you willing to listen to your words, to your command? And obedient to obey and follow your command. Thank you. We do have your Spirit in us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ.